Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends. I'm excited for you to listen to this conversation I'm going to have with Christy. So welcome, Christy, to the podcast. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Naomi. I'm really excited to be here. My name is Christy Kroom Richard, and I am a freelance editor, a book coach, an author, a mom, and I live in Long Beach, California. I love storytelling. I love everything related to reading and writing and just getting ideas out there, collaborating with other creatives that have that itch to explore their story, whether it's for themselves or for an audience. That's what I feel like I'm called to do. So
awesome. That's so cool. So when you were little, were you always sitting in class just writing stories, or was it more verbal sharing of storytelling? What did that look like when you were little?
It wasn't too verbal. I was very shy. So I always felt more at home on the page than chatting with people for a long time. And I did do a fair amount of story writing. I grew up reading Little House on the Prairie, and that evolved into Nancy Drew, which evolved into the Babysitter's Club. And I feel like there was always this, you know, series that I liked following characters along. So then I started kind of writing my own things, just very casually. But I got a lot of positive feedback whenever I did, from teachers, from parents, who were just like, oh, you're so good at this. And so I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always fun to look back and see like, oh yeah, I did do this as a kid. And it always helps to get that positive reinforcement as you move along. So what did that look like moving into college and education piece? Did you know you wanted to be a writer, or how did that unfold?
My unfolding was very nonlinear and very all over the place, because I think that I always had this idea in my head that I would write a book, but that it would be much later in life. It would be a sort of like icing on the cake thing. Not writing wouldn't be something I would do for a career. I needed like a real career. And I think, you know, growing up at the time that I did, I started college, I graduated high school in 2000, right? So that's basically baseline, where we didn't have a lot of internet. We didn't have a lot of access to knowledge the way we do now. So it wouldn't have really, you know, not knowing anybody in publishing and growing up in a tiny town, it wouldn't have occurred to me to, you know, be an English major and go to New York and go to NYU and things like that. So I was an English major here in California, and I figured, well, I'll teach, because that's what you do with an English major, you know? Mm-hmm. So I went on the teaching track, and I pretty quickly in, I was like, I don't know if I want to be a high school teacher. So I ended up figuring out that I wanted to maybe apply to MFA programs instead. Mm-hmm. So I did not get into any of them. And it's so funny, because now looking back, I'm so grateful that I didn't. I think that at the time I wasn't really prepared to be writing vulnerably and to be exploring on the page the way that you really kind of, if you're going to devote yourself to that much studying of writing and really make a career out of it. And I went to a summer program at University of Iowa. That was one of the top MFA programs. And they had a summer writing institute that anybody could do. So I did that. And my instructor kind of pulled me aside and she goes, you know, your main character, I know she's based on you, but she's a little bit too perfect. And I knew she was right, but I didn't know how to not be perfect on the page. Mm-hmm. Too scared. I was too young. And that's my story. Some people immediately can, and I am very envious of them, but that was my story. So at any rate, I ended up deciding to go overseas, teach English, in France and Spain, Venezuela. I spent a year teaching overseas and I got certified to do it. And it was amazing. And then I kind of went back to the whole teaching idea. Well, maybe I'll teach college. And that one really did stick. So I got my master's in English and I started teaching English 100. So that was going relatively well until the crash of 2008 and the whole thing that went down there with the housing market. And then there really were no jobs. So I ended up regrouping again. And I got together with a friend who also was like, maybe we could move to New York. She was in a life transition stage as well. And I just thought, you know, I have nothing. I'm at this point, I was like 28, 29. I don't have anything to lose. So we moved out there. And I saw that this one editor and freelance writer had an online course. And this was this was like 2009 or 2010, before it was even a very popular thing. I paid like $150 for it. And she gave us all personal attention and feedback on our assignments. But it was, here's how to write and pitch publications and get your essays in your articles published. And it's still to this day, I think, one of the best online classes I've ever taken. It was so good. And because I had moved to New York, she was like, oh, well, I live in New York. Let's go, you know, get some pictures of sangria and hang out. And which was amazing. And so we became friends and she ended up bringing me on to the publication she was writing for called yourtango.com. And so that was my first paid writing gig where I was a monthly columnist for Your Tango. And I wrote about dating and relationships in New York, but from a Christian perspective. So it was kind of a funny thing that they had brought me on to do. And I just explored it to the best that I could. I ended up doing it for 2 years, loved it, used everything I learned in her class to pitch other publications. And that kind of began my writing career, essentially. So I've been freelancing a little bit ever since. And it wasn't until 2015 that I actually got an opportunity. One of the pastors at my church had a pretty incredible personal story. And just real quickly, he was doing missionary work in El Salvador when he was ambushed by a masked gunman. And he ended up having a bullet lodge in his throat, but he survived, affected his vocal cords. He had to deal with all the trauma and everything. And so I ended up coming on board and writing his story, his and his family's. And as I soon learned, there was a lot of history and stuff about El Salvador and the people that I wanted to weave into. So I ended up writing a whole book about that and doing research, learning about the whole ghostwriting sort of situation, co-authoring. And just by doing it, we did a Kickstarter. We got funded to self-publish. So that's like the basics. And then since then, I have decided to move into book coaching and editing as well. So I just finished up an editing certificate through University of Chicago. And I am taking clients that want to self-publish, that want to do their own stories. And I know it's a really long answer. So.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's always fun to hear. I mean, because there's so many years that we're living, and as creatives, it is going to take twists and turns because we're always expanding and growing and changing, and we're going to follow that lead, you know, wherever that goes. And so I think it's awesome that you've gotten those different experiences to get you to where you are today. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So with that ghostwriting kind of process, like, I always wonder what that is like for a ghostwriter. You said it's a lot of research, a lot of sitting with the pastor, probably getting his story, but how did you find it? Just as the process goes, did you find it challenging, exciting? What did that look like for you?
All of the above. I would say of all the things I've done professionally, that was my favorite. That was really such an incredible experience. Because I got to interview like 20 different people. So I would say, to answer your question, you first, I think it's so important to sign up for something that A, you're passionate to tell, for your reasons, outside of just that person's story and their message. How does yours kind of connect in some personal way? And then do you guys, building a foundation of trust with each other is so important, because you want the people that you're writing about to understand that whatever they say is confident, that they are going to get to be very much collaborating within this process. You're writing it, but they can veto whatever. They can trust you to tell you the truth about certain situations, or even allow you to talk to people in their lives that, you know, might not talk to you and trust you otherwise. So it's a constant, I would say, building of trust and collaboration.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you have any other kind of ghostwriting things on the board now, or are you looking for more of that opportunity?
I am, and I might. There's some stuff. It's funny because as we're talking, I'm recovering from COVID, and I had a few opportunities that are, you know, meetings and in the works, that I had to kind of postpone and say, I will get back to you. And but I am actually feeling much better now. So
good. Yeah. Yeah. Little hiccups in the road, but still plugging away. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So as you move into this coaching and editing, what does that kind of look like? Like, I know I have a book that I've kind of started on, but like, what would that look like for me that's never written a book, never worked with an editor, doesn't even really know what that process looks like? Could you walk me through what that is?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I would say book coaching and editing are a little bit different. They can certainly overlap at times, but coaching usually comes first and editorial comes second. So you can hire a book coach at any point in your process. If, say, you're someone who really wants accountability and you kind of want someone to help you with developing a writing schedule and a routine and a plan that works for you, because I think that would probably be my first question for you or whoever came to me, is how often do you write and what does your writing time look like? Is it something that you're happy with? You know, because some people can literally make their own outlines and just like shoot things out on their own. And other people are just kind of spinning their wheels a bit. Feel like it's working up here, it's not working down here when they get it. And so then that's where a book coach can be really helpful in terms of pulling that out. So that's one thing I would maybe say, get some books that you could read in terms of whether your genre is memoir or if it's fiction or if it's like a how-to or personal growth book. Get a book that will help you, just give you some guidelines for how that's done. So then mm-hmm. you can see how other people have done it. I actually wrote an article about this for a publication called Life Goals. It's like 12 steps to, you know, writing that book goal that you've, and so I kind of outlined just different things I would do. You can even go to the bookstore. That's a really fun one. And imagine the place in the bookstore where your book would sit on the shelf.
And I've just, done that.
Yeah. See, oh, it's so fun. And it's so good to just kind of look at what other books are in that area. How do they, when you read the back cover copy, what elements are there? How are they outlining things, whether it's chapters or things like that? So,
That's awesome.
To start.
Yeah. What does an editing process look like? Like, how long does that usually take? And is it a lot of going back and forth? Because I know for me, like, I know things need to be edited, but it's not always the fun part of it, at least for me. So what would that look like as working with the editor?
Yeah. So I think that the first thing to know is that editing feels like this catch-all term if you're not in the industry. But if you're in the industry, it's actually very specific. So there's different stages to the editorial process. So your first one is like you're taking a zoom lens and you're pulling out, right? And you're looking at this big meta concept of the book as a whole. This is called developmental editing. So you want to do that first before you even think about all the stuff that people usually, I think, equate to editing, like grammar, and is this sentence working? You don't really want to worry about that until way down the line, because in the developmental stage, you might throw out a chapter, or you might have to write a new chapter that you weren't expecting. So we're looking at the book as a whole to see if, you know, if it's nonfiction, do you have a main point? Do you have like a thesis that you're really, is the reader gonna be transformed through the arc of your chapters, how they're lying out, you know, because the reader is almost like the protagonist in a personal growth book, right? Or if it's a memoir novel, then you've got a protagonist. If it's a memoir, it's you. So is this character fully fleshed out? Is this character having a transformation from the beginning to the end? Is the story gripping? Are there holes where maybe the reader might be confused? Or maybe we're going off it's okay to write non-linearly, of course, but in a direction that maybe doesn't make sense because it's bringing in all these additional themes that aren't fully fleshed out. And so you're really together with your developmental editor, you're kind of collaborating and learning what it is that the book is meant to be. Yeah. So that's developmental editing, and that can take, it could take a few months, it could take more than that. It's really sort of depends on how much the person, the client comes with.
Yeah.
So if you've already got a really fleshed out 100,000 word beast of a manuscript, that might actually take less time. Because then it's more about just taming it and figuring out what needs to stay and what needs to go. But if you are less didactic and in your writing, then you might need to write more. Developmental, and I feel like that's one of the stages that's really one of the most important. It's also the most expensive editing, but if you have to spend on something, the other editing after that's all finalized and you have a good manuscript, you're like, okay, this is as good as I think the book's going to be. Like pretty much we're done here. We don't need to, maybe the sentences can be changed a little bit here and there and prettier in different words, but that's the copy editing and the line editing. So that's what comes next.
Yeah.
And then if you're self-publishing, you could probably stop there. You might not need to then hire a proofreader. Or what you could maybe do is get creative and be like, well, I do have this friend who's an English teacher or this person who's really good at grammar. And you could maybe do swaps, trades, because doing all three stages of editing out of your own pocket can be very pricey. And so there's definitely ways to work around and figure out what your book specifically needs based on if you're trying to go to a publishing house, trying to publish it yourself, etc.
Yeah, that's helpful because I think it is like just as creatives, we have all these ideas. So I can really see how working with a coach on those kind of first stages of outlining, making sure that there is a cohesive message, and maybe it's two books, you know, and getting clear, like, okay, this is the first book that we're going to tackle. And then you can come back with this other message that would make more sense with these other ideas. So I can see where that investment would be huge. And just that accountability piece to get started, right? Like when we start to invest in ourselves and we show up differently to what's on our heart to create. And so I can see how that could be very like a big shift in moving forward.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I've found that to be the case for myself.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what kind of authors do you like to work with the most? Like, are you into nonfiction, fiction, memoir? What does that look like?
Yes. So I would say I work a little bit in fiction, just a little, especially because I'm not someone who's read a ton of genre fiction my whole life. So I don't feel comfortable editing in it. I read literary fiction, which is going to be like the really, I like working mainly with memoir and nonfiction are my favorites. And I love, I've worked with people who have businesses. I actually love working with people that don't necessarily consider themselves writers. They consider themselves, you know, coaches or.
That's awesome. Yeah. I could see how that would be really fulfilling because you're bringing these beautiful messages out, you know, and not everybody likes to watch TV. They like to be in books with written word. And so that's just another way to reach people. And so I think that would be just fun projects to work on and be supportive of.
Yeah. And I think one of the really valuable things that they have taught me that I've passed on to a lot of other clients is just that the less precious you are sometimes about your writing, the farther you're able to get with it because you're not doing it. Because I think that for me and for a lot of different writers, it's almost like this identity piece. Like I am a writer, you know, and show the world that I'm a writer, but then it starts to feel heavy or the bar starts to get up too high. And really when you're drafting, you want the bar to be really low. You want to, you know, potentially even try doing how Brené Brown says that she writes her books, which is just dictating them. And then it gets to her speech gets typed out and then wrangled into, a nice book. And that's totally okay. It doesn't make her not a writer. And so you just get the words down on the page, however they come out, however you need to. And I love, just walking people through that process. Cause I think that's the hardest part. Is when we see the words and we're like, oh, are they good enough? Are they ever going to be good enough? And I don't know, is this really what I want to say? And really in the drafting process, you don't even need to, you just get it down about making sense of it later.
Yeah, that makes sense because I consider myself not a writer. And I was talking to a friend, she's like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, and my writing is just social media for the most part and newsletters, you know, but it's like, it's, I think, shifting that idea of like, what is a writer? Like the other day I picked up some canvases. I was like, oh, I'm not a painter. She's like, but you paint, you know? So I'm like, yeah, okay. So why do we put this kind of value on what's a painter or not? Like if we paint, we're a painter. If we run, we're a runner. Does it matter what level we're at? we're still doing it and we're showing up with that. And because we're showing up, we are going to be improving and honing that craft a little bit more. And I think, like, speaking to that comparison piece, right? Like, we see awesome writers, they just have that way with words. And I know I'm not that way, but it's like, that's okay. Cause I just have to be confident in the message that I have. And so, like, when you're working with clients, is part of that work really like trying to keep their eyes on their own paper, or, you know, and not comparing? Or what does that look like with some of that mindset stuff that comes up when starting something new?
Yeah, that can, I mean, it very much depends on the client, right? Because sometimes I've worked with people who've already written books before. And so this is number two, and they might feel a little bit more dialed in. But really, I think that, you know, most people will tell you writing a book can be a very challenging thing to achieve. And so when it gets hard, it's more like being able to stand with them and just really figure out and name what is it that's hard right now. An author and whose podcast that I really love, her name's Rachel Herron. She has a podcast called How Do You Write? And she talks about how you really need to be like comfortable with discomfort, or at make peace. Maybe that's how she puts it. Make peace with discomfort, you know, because that's what it is when you face the page and you're like, I don't know what to say today. I have a blank cursor and I'm not sure. Or this scene I've been working on just isn't coming together. And that's okay. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. And that's where I think sometimes the prior shame, whether it's from a teacher or someone who told you you couldn't write or weren't a very good writer, or maybe you told yourself at one point that it wasn't going to happen. I think it's pulling apart that and being like, okay, is it this or is it that, or is it really just that I'm uncomfortable right now? And it's so easy to get up from the chair and be like, I mean, I always say like, oh, I'm gonna go get a snack, and then it's all over when you're snacking and running around the living room. But it's just staying in the chair, keeping your butt in the chair in the discomfort, and just being like, okay, well, it's not the end of the world. And trying to get something out. And you never know, that might turn into one of your best sessions ever. But really, it's the staying put in the chair that it happens. Because so many people get out of the chair and say, I'm going to come back tomorrow. But then like, well, I didn't do it yesterday. Maybe I can skip it another day. Maybe, you know, I mean, there's just so.
Yeah, I like that reframe.
Yeah.
Just stay in the chair and get it done. Not get distracted, because.
And then forgive yourself when you don't. You know, get up, and then the next day be like, okay, so yesterday didn't do the thing I said I would do, and that's okay. Today's a new day.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's always building, you know, some of those habits, some of those kind of. How to move, like shift the thinking around that uncomfortable state, like you said, so that you can sit in it, just even if it's like, okay, I'm just going to give myself 5 more minutes just to sit with it and not just like at the moment of discomfort, get up like so many of us do, but maybe putting a time to it to just sit with it for a minute and see what happens and try to build that muscle. Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, there's different. I mean, some people love word counts, saying like, I'm definitely going to try and write 500 words, 800 words, whatever your mark is for today, 1,000. it's really a personality thing. And it's something you'll figure out as you set different goals. Personally, I like the timer. I like setting a timer for 30 minutes or whatever and seeing how much I write in that time. And whether it's, you know, half a page, whether it's like 4 pages, it's less the point of what I produce. It's more that I spent the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. It really, everyone's different on what they prefer.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good to remember too. We just have to find what works for us. And part of that is that experimentation, giving ourselves grace along the way as we do try different things, and something that worked in the past may not work in this next season. So trying again, but staying after it is huge. Yeah. Yeah. So like when you're not in your coaching and writing and all this stuff, what do you like to do to kind of bring a sense of creativity to your life in a new way that feeds the work that you do? Like any hobbies or anything that you like to do?
Yeah. I love cooking. I love being in the kitchen. So anything that I can do there that's creative, even just the act of slicing things is very meditative. I like to listen. I love listening to podcasts. And so while I'm driving or cooking or cleaning or whatever, I'll listen to podcasts. What else do I love? I just exploring different parts of towns. Mm-hmm. So, whether it would be, I live in LA, Long Beach. So it could be going out to Venice or going to Orange County or just something where I'm kind of out of my environment. I feel like environment's really, really stimulating to me, whether mm-hmm. it's a beach, whether it's a super busy city, whether it's an artsy part or like something else. And just knowing that there's so many different parts of town and knowing that you can turn a few blocks and be in a completely different universe just feels so fun and exciting to me. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I miss living in that area just for that opportunity. Like there's everything there. And like this morning, right? Because I'm trying to spur more creativity. And so it's like walking down the back streets and seeing the new sights, smelling the things, tasting the things, like, I just love it. Brings new perspective that I think that we can all use with our creative work. And so I like that idea, just to get out of your own environment and try something new.
Yeah. How long have you been living in Bangkok?
Bangkok, about 3 years. Yeah. And it never gets old. So... yeah, there's always something new to see and stuff. So yeah, it's fun. And that's what I encourage people to do. Like if they're feeling kind of stuck or not as creative, or, you know, we get in those seasons where it's just like, yes, I know I want to do this, but just the energy isn't there, you know, like pushing ourselves, like change the environment, get around other creatives just to see what they're doing, you know, to maybe spark some interest and stuff like that. So do you have a network of coaches or other creatives that you like to work with in town or online?
Gosh, yes. I mean, right now I would say I have too many networks because I actually have a toddler right now. And I don't have a lot of time. I'm a part of three. I'm a part of the EFA, which is the Editorial Freelancers Association. Haven't done too much to actually branch out in that. I'm a part of Epiphany Space, which is a co-working thing in LA for creatives. And my very favorite community, if I had to choose one, is going to be Yellow Co., is where I found you as well.
Love
those women, are so fantastic. So he was very connected in Yellow Co. prior to COVID and in having my baby. I'm a certified guidance group leader, and I'm considering carving out space in my schedule to potentially, you know, lead that maybe in the future. But Yellow Co. has just been a really wonderful, supportive group of women.
Yeah, definitely. I remember, because that's when I had just moved back from Indonesia and I was in LA. So I got to go to the Yellow Conference, and I was so excited to connect with people there and just Yeah, I get inspired by what everybody else is doing. And I mean, I find so much inspiration just in California in general. And so that was a good opportunity to connect with people. So that's awesome that you're still connected and growing that community together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to get more involved. So that's when time opens up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Right. Life and that's the thing too. Yeah, we can't do everything at once. And so it's like prioritizing what we need to focus on in this season and knowing we can always come back around to the other things when times change. Yeah, awesome. So thank you so much for sharing all that information. Is there a way that people can get in touch with you, or where do you like to hang out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I hang out on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram will you put in the show notes? Do you have show notes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'll put it in.
That's probably the easiest because my Instagram handle, it, my name, you know, there's a lot of ways to spell Christy, and my maiden name is K-R-U-M-M. So I think check out the show notes. I would love to be there. I'm going to be restarting up my newsletter soon. So you can hang out with me on the newsletter. And I'm going to be doing book lists. So book recommendations on bookshop.org. And that's tied to like an affiliate program, or anything that you buy from that would go towards my local bookstore here in Long Lake. So it's all funding indie bookstores.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing lists for like novels, for books on writing.
Oh, so fun. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, there's so many cool things that we just continue to explore or find out about, that how people are supporting local handmade creatives, like, you know.
Yeah,
I love that. So okay, we'll put that in the show notes too so that people can connect with that.
Yeah, that should be it's an affiliate program that just started, so for book okay. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I know that I appreciate you kind of teaching more about what that looks like on the editing side of things and ghostwriting. And I'm excited to follow your journey on if there's anything else coming out for you in the future. So
thank you so much.
Okay.
So good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.